I can't say to you that by your own effort be born again. You can't do it. There's a mystery there, because on one hand you might say to yourself, well, where does that leave me? If I can't do it, am I going to perish? And I say to you, that's not how it is expressed in the Word of God. The Word of God, though it reveals that regeneration is a principle of life that only God can do, it is seen when the gospel is proclaimed and you're called to believe and turn from sin, and you respond to that call. You respond to that call. So you're not sitting here trying to figure out, am I born again? Have I been born again? Can I be born again? You're trying to figure out, this is it. Am I prepared to stake my all on Christ? Am I prepared to have done with sin and make Christ king of my life? Am I prepared to recognize him and let him be sovereign over all areas of my life, so that when he puts his finger on a sin, I'd rather have Jesus than all the pleasures of sin for a season? That's what you're doing all the time. The final thought is that this change leads to a desire to be holy that is partially experienced in this life. You're not going to be perfectly holy, not here. But regeneration is a preparatory work. It's changing our nature. It's actually signaling that we belong where God is, because God is in us. And so our lives are transformed. The apostle can say in Ephesians 4, and expect a response from the believers, put ye off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is what you're putting on. You're casting off the sin. Oh, young people, don't have your lives governed by all the iniquitous desires and ambitions and thoughts of this world. Put off the old man with his deeds. Be pure, be holy, be Christ-like. Encourage holiness in one another. Don't be afraid of being considered some kind of holy roller or whatever. Don't let that be to the side. Be distinct. Don't be adulterous. Don't be fornicating. Don't be lying. Don't be deceitful. Be a pure, holy person. This is what's expected. This is what God works in his people. He changes them. They are not like they once were. And so Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You're meant to shine in all the darkness of our current age. You're meant to be blameless. Can't find obvious fault. There's a consistency to your life. What you profess when you're here singing in the presence of others and the people of God is worked out in where you work and where you study and where you live. And people have to make up lies about you to say anything that's crooked or perverse about your life. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you out of darkness. He's brought you from death, from all that past of the wrath of God abiding upon you, and changed you, being chosen and royal and holy, a peculiar people. Regeneration is the beginning. It is the preparation of a new people for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And thus tonight I ask you not, do you attend this church? I ask you not, do you believe the Bible is God's word? As good as these things and necessary as they may be. One may attend church, one may believe the Bible is God's word. Nicodemus did. But he wasn't born again. Have you been born again? Honestly, have you been born again? Is the evidence of life in you? Has there been a radical transformation? If not, here's the reality. You're still in a condition of death. Now, you may have mastered certain behaviors, things that the world may do, but you don't do it. You've managed to dust that off and be a respectable looking person. We're not dealing with respectability here. We're dealing with a radical, revolutionary work in the heart of man that changes everything about him. That you wake up and you honor Christ. You go to sleep, you honor Christ. And every day you're following the same pattern as Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. My purpose is Christ. I breathe for Christ. I live for Christ. He has all that I am and all that I have. What's in my bank belongs to him. The possessions I own, they're his. My very frame, if he sees fit to glorify himself through afflicting it, then so be it. This is surrender. This is a life that's transformed and won. The unregenerate does not understand. Just don't understand it. Looks crazy. Why would you leave comfort and go to another country and preach the gospel? Why would you go to people who don't like you? Why would you take such a cut in your salary and your pay? You had a good job. Why would you abandon that and go and preach? Why would you do that? Why would you not take that job? Because there's no church over there? What do you mean there's no church over there? It's twice your salary. Why would you not do that? But there's no church over there. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to the unregenerate mind. But to the regenerate mind, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. The renewed mind, the changed heart, the radically reformed affections. These things are a work of God and they must exist. If they're not there, the question is why? Have you been born again? And if not, what are you to do? Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Have done with your lack of love for Christ. Have done with all your negligence here. Think of it. You are here, lavished upon with the means of grace, unlike few in the world. And you can sit and scoff at it and say, "Oh, put it off to another time." How dare you? How dare you? The mercy of God. There's not a person in this room, as far as I can assess, not a person who has not had such a lavish mercy from God and the means of grace given to them. And you can go on playing games with sin, acting like you're going to get away with it forever. God forbid! You'll end up like Saul. You end up like the one who seemed to have all the favor and all the blessings and so promising. And yet, because of his ongoing hardening against God, he proves, the root of the matter was not there. It wasn't there. Why will you die? Why stay in a state of death? Believe. Cast your all. Come as you are. Throw in your heart. Throw in all your sins, past, present, and future. Throw them all at the foot of the cross and see there the blood atonement of the Son of God. It's the answer for you. Believe and you will be saved. Believe not, you will be damned.